Good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor family and all of our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor.
I'm Pastor John Blaine, Jr., and this is my lovely wife, Teresa, and I'm known at my church as Pastor John. My church is Philadelphia Deliverance Tabernacle. And we count it a delight and a privilege to join with you this morning in worshiping, in this worship experience. All right. Today, our scripture reading will come from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 1 through 10. And it reads, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now, therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he who doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, and bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this another day, another Lord's Day, where we gather together just to proclaim your goodness. God, I pray right now that you just till the very soil of our hearts, that we might receive the word, God, that you're sending out for us today, that it might sink deep into our heart and be productive and yield forth much fruit, 30, 50, and 100-fold. God, I pray a special blessing upon this house, the Taylor family, oh God, and Pastor Ford. And I pray, oh God, for an anointing to be upon these words, that it will accomplish everything that it set out to do, that we may be better individually and we better collectively in doing what you've accorded our hands to do. God, we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus for your glory and your glory alone. Amen. Amen. At this time, we will have a selection from our minister of music, Brother William Knight.
You know my name. You know my name. Oh, how you open me. Oh, how you so. Oh, how you tell me
Amen, amen. We're so grateful today that the Lord knows our name. We thank God for all of you that are here with us today, and we're so grateful to Pastor Ford for this opportunity. Amen, amen. Praise God, and we thank God for his spirit of excellence. Maybe if I hang around him long enough, it will rub off on us here, but we're glad to be here. Today we're coming from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, and as you've already heard, verses 1 through 10. The Lord, I feel, has really been impressing that upon me these last couple of days. I'm taking for title today, Get Up and Sit Down, taken from the second verse, where it says, Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. And when I read that, I felt like that was just like something that my dad would say to me when I was little. I used to like to play in the dirt outside. I don't know why. Make the mud pancakes. Had the little soldier guys doing war, and I'd play in the mud and the water. And I could hear my dad, even when I'm reading this, yelling at me, get up, go in the house, sit down. And I believe that's what the Lord is telling the church today. Today, with all that we see going on, so many Christians are just murmuring and complaining and say, oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Time for the rapture. Where's the rapture when you need it? If you ever needed a rapture, that time would be now. And we've been praying like that. How about now for a rapture, God? But God is saying that now is not the time for the rapture. Now is the time that he needs us to do his work in the earth. But as we are had time off from our jobs and from our schools, and we've had a lot more free time. The churches have closed, the stores have closed, the restaurants have closed, and people started looking at TV and hearing the news reports, and as we listen to what the experts are saying, our hearts get a little fearful, and we're afraid to go out. In fact, even if things were open because of the virus, and people are getting the virus, and we're hearing all these things, and you know what? The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so many of us are renewing our mind according to what Wolf Blitzer has to say, or what's his name, David Muir has to say. I don't know all the newscasters, but CNN, Fox News, or wherever you get your news from, the ABC, World News Tonight. And we're renewing our mind with that stuff. Though it might not sound bad, it is sowing things that are antithetical to what God wants us to have in our hearts. So I can hear the Lord saying, get up out of that dirt, awake, awake, you're lulling yourself to sleep. That's not the things that I've told you. I'm not taught you to fear. He said, I'm not told you to fear, but to have love. Love casts out all fear. Love gives you a sound mind. God said, don't be caught up in the hatred and the remembrance and the violence and all the things that the world is producing and pronouncing today. They're pushing God out of the government, out of the schools, out of society. But God said, get up. Verse 2, he said, shake yourself. Shake the dust off of you. Get that. Don't let that dirt remain on you. I believe it's Joshua said in Joshua 1:8, forgive me if I'm not quoting it, but this is how I remember it. He tells us, I'm never going to let the word depart out of my mouth. In other words, I'm going to keep saying what God says. He said, I'm going to meditate on his word night and day. Three things he said. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to say it. And then he said, I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to do everything that God has commanded us to say. So we've got to stop listening. We've got to take some time out. Stop listening. I dare you. I challenge you just for a day or two to turn off all the newscasts. See what God has to say. You know, I like keeping up with the political scene and what's going on and all of that. And some people that know me know about that, and they like to push my buttons every now and then and like to challenge me. And there was a time when I used to get angry, but you can't meet anger with anger. And so I have settled myself not to be angry, just to speak the truth. speak the truth. Speak the truth. I know the Bible says the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. But if you listen closely, it doesn't say the violent take it by violence. The violent take it by the force of the word of God. There's no greater force than the truth. And who is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. And they were pressing me for me to declare who I was voting for so they could draw lines. And I said, have you asked God who to vote for? I said, well, that should be all that matters. I've asked God who I'm voting for. You ask God who you're voting for. And let's listen to what God says. You know, I had an alarming thing, an alarming realization one day when I was reading about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he's about to go to the cross. And I remember who Jesus is. You all know who Jesus is. He's the second person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We believe that God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are all equal. They're all parts of God. They're all part of the Trinity, all making up one God. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is telling the Father, he's asking the Father, is there another way? Do I have to do it your way? He said, because in other words, I don't want to do it that way. And it doesn't say what the Father responded to him, but he said, Jesus resigned himself. Nevertheless, this is the kicker, not my will. Wait, Jesus is God, equal to the Father, but Jesus had a will that was different from the Father's will, and Jesus declared, not my will, but thy will be done. God is saying to the church today, no matter what you think you are or ought to do, no matter how logical you think the situation is, no matter how many experts you listen to on TV, he said, my way is better. And we have to come to the conclusion, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Get up. Get out of that situation. Stop listening to the voices around you. Be able to listen to God's voice. God says, my sheep know my voice. I thank God for his word of correction in this hour. He says in verse 3 that we sold ourselves into this willingly, for next to nothing. We've enslaved ourselves with the fears of the world, with the doctrines and the beliefs of the world, for next to nothing. But God said, I am going to redeem you. I think about the prodigal son. You know, we always say how great the father's love was in that story, and it was. The father was amazingly great. I dare to think what happened in my situation if I were to take my family's inheritance and run off and sleep, spend it on harlots and all the unsavory elements of society. I fear coming back home. I don't know. Maybe my father wouldn't be as gracious as this father. He's an amazing father. But one thing I did notice, when the father went off to do whatever he was doing, the father didn't go after him. The father just let him go ahead about his business. Let him go do what he did. Even though the father knew he was going to waste it, the father still loved him. But the father did not go after him. What are you saying? God is going to let you go in your own way. He'll let you go. But what happened? When the son realized, he said, hey, wait a minute. When he came to himself, the Bible says, he said, you know what? My father's servants live better than I live now. And he decided he was going to say three things. He was going to tell his dad. He said, Dad, I've sinned against God. He was going to tell him, I've sinned against you. And he was going to say, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the amazing thing is he had his speech all prepared. He comes back to Dad, and Dad sees him afar off and gets excited. His dad already had a forgiving heart, already ready to receive him. And he starts into his speech. He says, Dad, I sinned against God. And his father's there listening. And he said, I've sinned against you. And he's about to say, I am. And he said, the father didn't want to hear anymore. That was enough. He said, okay, kill the fatted calf, get him a robe, put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. He's enough. He's my son. And the son was flabbergasted. I didn't even get to the part where to say, I'm no longer to be called your son. You know, we've danced with the world's tunes. And sometimes the devil beats us over our head with what we have done or what our entanglement or our enslavement, as we see here. They enslave themselves of their own accord. But God is saying, I'm ready to reposition you in a new place. He said, get up. Dust yourself off. And now he's saying, sit down. What does he mean? We've got to sit down in our rightful position. He was about to say, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Listen, when you come to God, you become a son of God. And the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, he said, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers. God is saying, I need you now, children of God. I need you now. I saw an amazing thing here. I read in David's day, Jerusalem was about 10% of the population of Israel. In other words, Jerusalem was about a tithe of Israel. So although God's chosen people were all of Israel, the special people were in Jerusalem. But you know what? There's an even more special group. It was Mount Zion. And here he makes reference to Zion, and he makes reference to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital city, but Zion, where the government of God, the legislation of God was handed out. And so God is telling Zion, he said, look, Zion, put on your strength. Act like you know. Sit down in your seat where you're supposed to be sitting. You can't change anything wallowing in the mud. You can't change anything being like the world. But be the king that you are. Be the mature son of God that you are. God is calling us in this day to be the mature son of God. So what we have to do is realize this and recognize this. I was thinking about here in the very first chapter, it says that we need to put on our strength. That's what it's telling Zion to do, and it's telling Jerusalem to put on our glorious garments. And I'm reminded of one verse in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, and it says, it would help if I went to Romans instead of Corinthians. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verse 12, and it reads, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. God is talking to his people. He said, the night is far spent. The day is about to break. Let us put off our cloaks, clothes of darkness, our works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. When you hear about the armor, you have to think about Ephesians chapter 6 when it tells us, finally, my brethren, after you've done all to stand therefore, stand by putting on the whole armor of God. You see, I believe when you get saved, you're more than a match for the imps, the little foot soldiers of the devil. You can wipe them out when you get saved. But if you're going to pull down principalities and powers, if you're going to pull down wickedness in high places, you have to put off your works of darkness. The Bible says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. That's Ephesians chapter 5. And here in chapter 6, he says, you know, first thing we got to do, we got to stop getting just our head full of knowledge. But we've got to get the truth. The truth. See, if you learn some facts and some figures, it doesn't necessarily make it the truth, because if it excludes Jesus Christ, all you have is knowledge. But if it includes Jesus Christ, then you can have the truth. Because the truth is Jesus' middle name. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. When I read through the armor of God, I used to be fascinated. Why does it start with having your loins girded about with truth? Why does it start with the helmet of salvation? Don't we need salvation first? No, he says the first thing we need to know is the truth. We have to know what God is saying, not what the news is saying, not what the World News Tonight or the BBC or RTTV. We don't need to know what they're saying. We need to know what is God saying. If you're going to learn or if you're going to be able to function and do the work that God has called you to do, you've got to be able to hear His voice. And we've got to silence the other voices around us and focus in on the Lord's voice. I thought about that verse that says, my sheep know my voice. And you know what? He didn't say my lambs. He said my sheep. The sheep are grown up. The lambs get distracted. The lambs follow the other sheep. But the sheep, the adult sheep, they follow the voice of the shepherd. And that's what God is saying. Get up out of the dirt. Arise and shine. Put on the armor of light. Put on, have your loins girded about with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, your own doing and as best as you think you can do is as filthy rags, the Bible says. You know, there's a lie going on out in the church. I was witnessing to a Muslim young man, and he was explaining to me how when we die, we have to go before Allah, and He determines whether our good outweighs the bad. I said, well, I feel sorry for anyone who is trying to go to heaven on your faith on their deathbed, because there's no way they can make up the good deeds. That's a pretty tough road. And he said, yes, so if your good outweighs your bad, you go to heaven, and if you have more bad than good, you go to hell. And you know what? That lie has penetrated the church. You ask people, what does it take to go to heaven, walking on the street? They say to a Christian, oh, good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I know some very good folks. They pay for my meal when I go out to eat. If my neighbors, good neighbors, they'll come by and they'll shovel my sidewalk when it snows, and they'll take me here and they'll do anything for me. But they haven't accepted Jesus Christ. Guess where they're going? They're good folks. There's good folks in hell. But they've neglected so great a salvation. They neglected Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is, the saved folks, I don't care how cantankerous they are, how stubborn they are, what kind of attitude they are, because they had faith in Jesus Christ, those folks are going to heaven. And despite what the world tells you, those folks that reject Jesus Christ and believe that you can get to heaven any kind of way, as long as you're good, I have a surprise for you. That doesn't get you into heaven. And hell, unfortunately, will be your home. We've got to begin to declare, as it says, down, I see I'm running out of time, run down to verse 7. Verse 7 is what I want to get to. Says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring that good tidings. Why did I want to get to that verse? Because I was saying that God, Israel is God's chosen people, and Jerusalem represents the capital of God's kingdom, and Zion represents the governmental authority, the rules and those that set the rules. In the New Testament, it's known as the Ecclesia. You see, in the Greek days, they had in the neighborhoods, the people would come together and they would form what's called an Ecclesia. It's a governing body to determine the rules and the regulations of the neighborhood of the community. And Jesus was the first to use it in a religious setting. Jesus said to Peter, he said, upon this rock, I build my church. I build my Ecclesia. In other words, he said, I'm building an organism that will govern, set the rules, determine how the community is to be, is to live, is to exist. What? Yeah. The church isn't a place for you to hide out until the rapture comes. The church is a place where we can determine what kind of neighborhoods we live in. Guess what? The world is divided into two kind of people. No, it's not black people and white people. No, no, no. It's not citizens and aliens. No, no, no. It's not men and women. Guess again. No, no. It's not even queer and straight. It's not that. No, it's the saved and the unsaved. And God says, It's the saved that he will allow to determine what kind of community we live in. So I was saying about the armor of God, and he said, upon our feet we'll have them shod with the preparation of peace, which is the gospel. So in verse 7 it says, how beautiful upon the mountains, Zion was a mountain. Mountains represent or symbolizes governmental authority or where legislation comes out of. He said, how beautiful are those feet? How beautiful are the peaceful feet that are governing, who are or dispensing peace, who are putting down and quieting the raging, the people who are raging, the people who are being stirred up and roused by satanic forces. How beautiful are those who are going and proclaiming peace, because God said in Isaiah chapter 9, he said, of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. God is increasing his government in the earth, and he is increasing his peace, but he needs the people of God to arise, to get up and take their rightful positions, take their seats in the heavenly places, put on the whole armor of God, having our loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of peace, and taking unto ourselves the shield of faith that we might quench the fiery darts of the enemy. But the Bible says, way down, I think it's number five piece, he says, and then take the helmet of salvation. Wait a minute, why is that so far down the line? Why isn't the helmet of salvation first? Don't we need to be saved first? No. He's already talking to saved folks. Then what is this helmet of salvation thing then? If I'm already saved, why do I need the helmet of salvation? Well, I believe that the helmet of salvation is not for your salvation, we as the people of God, but the helmet of salvation is for the salvation of the world. We put that on our head, the highest part of our body, and those that sit in darkness will see the bright light of our salvation, and they will see the light upon us, and they will come to the brightness of our rising. The Bible says, arise and shine, for the glory of God has risen upon you. He said, in the last days, he said that darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But God said, I'm looking for a people. I'm looking for someone. He said, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro through all the earth, looking for someone whose heart is perfect toward him, someone in whom he can show himself strong. In other words, someone who will obey his commandments to arise, get up out of the dirt, and take your position, sit down in the seat, the throne of God. God is looking for us. And I know you don't remember this way back in the day when I was a kid. I used to watch Welcome Back, Carter. And there was it was about a school setting, and there was a guy named Arnold Horshack, and before the teacher, Mr. Carter, could get a question out, Arnold Horshack would jump up and say, ooh, pick me. And I just feel like it says the eyes of the Lord searching to and fro in all the earth. I feel like I just had that Arnold Horshack anointing come on me, and I jump up and say, ooh, God, pick me. Pick me. I might not be the best. I might not be the best looking, the best qualified. I might not know it all or know anything. But God, I want you to pick me. If you're using anybody in the earth, use me. And we've got to cry out to God, God, not my will, but thy will. I just want to be used by you, even if it's not what I want done in the earth. God, I want to do your will in the earth. God is looking for someone to be his mature son, to declare his goodness. In verse 7, it also says let me read the whole verse. The beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. We've got to declare that God is reigning in the earth, that God is still on the throne. He has not forgotten or forsaken us. And I just want to read verses 9 and 10 to you to remind you of the good news. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye to... I didn't read verse 9. That was verse 10. And he hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. That's verse 10. But let's look at verse 9, and we're going to wrap this up. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. God said he's going to do a new and amazing, mind-blowing thing. And he said, I want my sons and daughters to be in heaven, and the whole earth shall see it. The angel said in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, the whole earth is covered, filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. But it wasn't until the minor prophets who declared, the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And who are the ones that are going to make known to the world? It is we, the mature sons of God. God is saying, I'm looking for those that will hear my voice, who will answer the cry like Isaiah. Here am I, O Lord. Send me. Like the man standing by the side of the road, when he heard the Son of David was coming by, he cried out, Son of David, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And as they told him to be quiet, to shut up, sit down, he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy upon me. It is my prayer. It is my cry. Day after day, God, make me a mature son. We may be crying out for the return of Jesus Christ, but all of creation, you know what they're crying out for? They're not crying out for the rapture. They're not even crying out for the return of Jesus Christ. All of creation is crying out for the mature sons of God. Then can Jesus come. Acts chapter 3 says, whom the heavens must retain until the restitution of all things. And the only way we're going to see the restitution of all things is if we get up and sit down in our rightful position. But you know what? You cannot be a mature son of God if you're not born. You first and foremost have to be born. You know, Jesus was knew he was going to meet Nicodemus in the, I believe it's the third chapter of John, and he was excited. There was finally someone he could talk about the deep things of God. But then he was surprised to know that even though he called himself a religious man, he didn't know the most simple thing. And he looked at Nicodemus. He said, you know what? In order to get to the deep things, Nick, first and foremost, he said, you must be born again. People of God, everyone under the sound of my voice, God is looking to use someone. He's going to do things in the earth that men have not seen, that will be undeniable to the world that our God is the true God. Our God reigns. Our God is in control. Our God is greater than anything imaginable. But first and foremost, you must be born again. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your heart today, you can pray a simple prayer along these lines. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that his shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Savior and Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me from my sins today. Amen. If you've accepted his call of salvation today, you can visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com. That's www.taylortabernacle.com. And go to our Contact Us page and check out the box, check the box, I am interested in becoming a Christian. And leave us a short message along with contact information, and someone from our staff will contact you to discuss the next steps in your Christian journey. If you have a prayer request, again, please visit the website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and find our prayer request page, or call our church at 215-748-4578. And leave us a message. And now, at this time, we'll have our weekly announcements, and we'll be back shortly for the benediction.
Good morning, Taylor. It's offering time. Amen, amen. We love to give unto the Lord that which is his own. Amen, amen. You can give to the Tabernacle in one of three ways. The first way is via text. The second way is via our website. And the second way is via U.S. mail. If you're going to give via text, you can text Taylor61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. If you'd like to give via our website, please go to www.taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow those instructions. If you'd like to give via U.S. mail, you can send check or money order. Please do not send cash to Taylor Tabernacle at P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. As always, we thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Amen. Hey, next, let's go into our announcement. Next Sunday morning, September 20th, we are going to have a guest speaker, none other than our friend, Pastor Patty Muir from Tribestone New Jerusalem Church of Philadelphia. Of course, they are no strangers to us, and we look forward to a great message from Pastor Patty Muir. Amen. Hey, the pastor and leadership team have decided to push back the reopening of Taylor Tabernacle to mid-October. The exact date will be announced as we get closer. If you have any questions or concerns, please contact our committee, and that's our sister Cassandra McCoy, our sister Shanita Scott, or our sister Zakiya Price. Please continue to pray for safe and successful reopening. Amen. Hey, September 18th, Friday night prayer and Bible study via the church conference lines. And that teacher is going to be our sister Courtney Scott. We look forward to it. On September 25th, Friday night prayer and Bible study is going to be none other than our own friend and family member, Dr. Bruce Harrison, all the way from Knoxville, Tennessee. That promises to be something great, so don't miss it. Ask friends and neighbors to join us for our prayer and Bible study. On September 27th, Sunday morning service will be hosted by none other than our Reverend Norman Lyons and family. And for your convenience, the church conference line number is, ready to write that down, 775-799-9141. Hey, remember to hit subscribe right there on your YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you may stay informed and up to date on all information of upcoming events at the Tabernacle. If you would like to receive our weekly emails and we don't have your email address or your email address has changed, please send us your new email address so we can add it to our list. We thank you for that in advance. Right now, we're going to go back to Pastor John Blaine for our benediction.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. We're so glad you joined us today. Let me see. Where am I? Okay, here I am. It's been a pleasure and an honor for us to share with you this morning. Thank you, Pastor Ford, and all the good people of Taylor Tabernacle for entrusting us with this platform. I would like to just give a little plug for our church, Philadelphia Deliverance Tabernacle. We're celebrating Founders Day. My dad founded our church over 40 years ago, and we're honoring him on Sunday, September 27th. At 4 p.m., and we would be so honored, and he would be so happy to see your smiling faces there just to celebrate the life of another man of God who's served faithfully down through the years. You can join us on that Sunday, September 27th, at 7501 Ogontz Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia Deliverance Tabernacle. Praise God, and we're just overjoyed to be with you here today. And thank you, Teresa, for joining me. And we just want to leave this prayer with you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face unto you and give you peace. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.